sacrifices his life for the sheep. And so today we're going to look at the good shepherd of Jesus. And today we're going to see into the heart of the shepherd, the heart of God. And so today we're going to be in John 10. That's going to be our main text. We're going to read a little bit, come back to it, and we're going to go back and forth. But we're going to stick in John 10 a lot today. And I just want to read a lot of this here, starting in verse 1 through verse 11. And this is Jesus. He said, "I tell you the truth. Anyone who sneaks over the wall of the sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice." Those who heard this, those who heard Jesus use this illustration, didn't understand what he meant. So he explained it to them. I wish we still had Jesus around, you know, because there's times I read the Bible, I'm just like, what? Anybody else, you know, in that boat with me? You're just like, what? You know, and so they had Jesus so they could ask him, "Jesus, what in the world did you mean by that?" And so here's his explanation. "I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pasture. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep." And so here we can see the heart of the shepherd. But before we talk about Jesus as the good shepherd, I want to address something that it talked about in verses 3 through 5. And this is actually one of the biggest questions that I get when people are searching. They say, how can we know the voice of God? Has anybody ever asked that question before? How can we know the voice of God? How do I know if it's God's voice or if it's something that I'm thinking or if it's something the devil's trying to get me to do? How do we know the voice of God? You know, how can we tell the difference? And I believe this right here tells us, it gives us a glimpse into knowing the voice of God. And I'm just going to read it again, verses 3 through 5. So the gatekeeper opens the gate for them, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger, and but they will run from him because they don't know his voice. And so, how did the sheep know the voice of the shepherd? By hearing it. See, the reason the sheep knew the shepherd's voice is because they've been in his presence. They've been with him since day one. They hear it every single day. And so when they go into the sheepfold, you know, they go in there and there's other flocks of sheep in there with them. And so what they would do, the shepherd, the gatekeeper would open the gate. The shepherd would say, I don't know what he would say, but he would say something and his sheep would come out. And all the other sheep would stay in there because the sheep knew the shepherd's voice. But they knew it because they were around him all the time. They heard it. You know, I can imagine King David out in the field. Now, King David was a musician. You know, he played the harp. You know, we see that in 1 Samuel where he's playing the harp for the king. And David was a shepherd. And so I can imagine David out in the field. You know, there's nobody else around but the sheep. And I can just see King David singing. You know, most of the psalm came from King David. And I could see him out in the field just singing to God. And they were hearing his voice. And so the sheep would hear his voice all day long. I believe that the shepherd talks to the sheep. I mean, there's nobody else to talk to. And so, you know, you probably think he's crazy seeing a shepherd out there talking to sheep. But I believe he talked to the sheep. In fact, the Bible says that when they come into the sheepfold, that he would call them by name. The shepherds would actually inspect each sheep as they come in to make sure they didn't have any cuts or anything on them. You know, he checked them out. And I believe he called them by name. He talked to them probably as they were coming through. The shepherd knows the sheep. And the sheep know the shepherd. And so when people ask me, how do you recognize the voice of God? How do you know that? You've got to be in his presence. You've got to be in the presence of God to be able to recognize the voice of God. See, we've got to be in God's word. See, this is God speaking to us. This is God's letter to us, the Bible. And so if you're not reading the Bible, then you're not going to recognize the voice of God when he speaks to you, because you're not in his presence. See, we need to be in prayer. We need to be praying. We need to be worshiping God. And I believe as we're in his presence that he speaks to us. And the more that he speaks to us, the more we recognize it. So that when the thief comes and speaks, we don't listen, because we know it's the thief. See, we get to know the heart of God through God's word. We get to know who God is, and we see how he thinks and operates through his word. And so the more time we spend in God's word, the more that we're going to be able to hear his voice when he speaks. See, if you want to hear the voice of God, be in the presence of God. Be in the word of God. And the more you do that, the more you'll hear it and understand. And you'll be able to differentiate between the voices that you hear in life. So that was just a side sermon. That was extra for you there. So as we look at the good shepherd today, I want us to look at the heart of the shepherd. At the heart of the shepherd. Because you can see what people do. See, most people judge people based on what they do, right? And we judge ourselves on based on who we are on the inside. Right. See, we can judge ourselves on our intentions and our attitudes and things on the inside that other people don't necessarily see. But we like to judge people by what they do. And so, you know, we want to look at the heart of God today as we look at Jesus, the Good Shepherd. And I believe as we look at the heart of God, you're going to see that he's not what a lot of people tell you he is. What a lot of preachers say that he is. Because let me tell you something, God's not out to get you. If he wanted to judge you, he's got plenty to go on. But he's not out to judge you. And we're going to look at the heart of God today as we look at Jesus, the Good Shepherd. So let's jump into this. John chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. I've got three things that I'm going to talk to you today about the heart of the shepherd. John 10, 9 and 10 says, "Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved, and they will come and go freely and will find good pasture. The thief's purpose is to steal, to kill, and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life." See, the heart of the shepherd is life-giving. See, God's not out to condemn us. God's not out to destroy our lives, to take away from us. It says right here, that's the thief that does that. See, there's a simple test that you can do when something happens in your life to know whether it was God or the devil. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. God comes to give life. If there's life being happening in your life, then that's God. If there's something, death, destruction, confusion, that's the enemy attacking you. Now, there is a middle ground to where sometimes bad things happen because of our own dumb decisions that we make. Okay? You can't blame that on God, and you can't blame that on the devil. You got to blame that on yourself, because we all make dumb decisions sometimes. But see, if there's life happening, if there's good happening, you better believe that's God working in your life, because he's come to give you a rich and satisfying life. I'm not saying he's coming to make you rich. I'm not saying that your bank account's going to overflow because you serve God. I'm not saying any of that. But God wants to bring blessing into your life. The biggest blessing that he gave us is Jesus Christ on the cross. And that he brought salvation to us. He brought redemption to us. That is a blessing that God brought into our lives. That's available to everybody. See, God wants to bring good and not bad into your life. So the heart of the shepherd is life-giving. Life-giving. See, that's one thing that we strive to do at this church, is be life-giving. See, there's so many churches that you walk into, and you walk in and people are all of a sudden like, oh, there's a new person. And they start judging you based on what you're wearing. with your haircut. He hadn't got a haircut in 2 years, I can tell. I wonder what he was doing Friday night. You know, and a lot of churches will judge you as soon as you walk in the door. Our goal in this church is to be life-giving, that when you walk in that door, that you feel loved, that you feel accepted here. Because that's the heart of God. If you look in the Bible, did you ever see Jesus condemn a sinner? Not one time did Jesus condemn a sinner. Not one time did Jesus judge a sinner. Now, he did say, go and sin no more. It's not that he's just like freely giving people grace and you can live however you want. He said, I love you. I accept you. Now that you know my love, go and sin no more. And that's the heart of God right there. And that needs to be the heart of this church. Is that we love and accept everybody who walks in the door, no matter what they look like, no matter what they smell like, no matter what their past is. Maybe you've known someone for all your life and you know their past. It's not up to you to judge that person. It's your job to love and accept that person. It's God's job to change people, not ours. See, our job is to come and speak the truth and let the Holy Spirit work in people's lives. But we can't change people. God can. Our heart needs to be life-giving here in this church. That is the heart of God. 2 Peter. Find my scriptures here. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. By His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know Him, the one who called us to Himself by means of His marvelous glory and excellence. And because of His glory and excellence, He has given us great and precious promises. And these are the promises that enable us to share His divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. Man, that is an awesome scripture. God has given us everything we need for living the godly life. See, that is the heart of a life-giving God. God just didn't say, just go out there and do your best. Good luck. But no, He said, we have everything that we need to live our lives for Him. See, when you get saved, you get the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. Amen. And when He comes on the inside of you, He brings His power. He brings everything that He has. And He enables you to live a godly life. See, a lot of people are like, well, I just can't break out of this sin. I can't break out of this sin. You have it on the inside of you. Because you have the power of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, you can get out of these sins. You can break these habits in your life that are holding you back because of the power of the Holy Spirit. See, we have everything that we need. You know, God just doesn't let us, you know, push us out there and, you know, we try our best and then He comes to help us. No, He gave us everything from the very beginning of what we need. See, God is life-giving. He is for us. He is not against us. He's cheering us on. See, God wants us to bring glory to Him through the way that we live our lives. That's why He did what He did. So that we can lift His name up higher. See, the heart of the shepherd is life-giving. Number one. Number two, the heart of the shepherd is sacrifice. The heart of the shepherd is sacrifice. John 10, 11 and 12. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. A hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they do not belong to him. And he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. See, the heart of God, the heart of the shepherd is sacrifice. See, we are his. He loves us. He sacrifices for us, just as parents. See, I didn't realize how selfish I was until I got married. And then I didn't realize how selfish I was until I had kids. It seems like the more kids you have, the more you have to die to yourself and sacrifice. But that's the heart of God. You know, we can see a part of the heart of God because as parents, you know, we want the best for our kids. You know, and so we're willing to sacrifice something of ours so our kids can have a better life than what we had. So that they can have the things that they need to make it in this life. That is the heart of our God. Is a heart of sacrifice. He loves us. He sacrifices for us. Romans 5. It says, when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though some might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. What an amazing scripture. Even while we were still sinners, Jesus sacrificed. See, his sacrifice was no guarantee that we would follow him. See, we all have free will. And see, his love for us is so much that he sacrificed in advance. He didn't wait for us to say, okay, so maybe, you know, I goofed up my life and I need to change. And, you know, he didn't wait for us to be sorry for the way we lived before he sacrificed, before he gave his life. He gave it up in anticipation of all of those who would repent and come to him. See, the sad part about that is there are millions and millions of people dying and going to hell with their sins paid for. But because they did not come to the shepherd and follow him. See, they did not receive that forgiveness. They did not receive that grace. See, the heart of our God is sacrifice, even while we're still sinners. You know, that's the thing about sheep is they're not very smart. I'm not very smart sometimes too in my life. But you know, sheep, you know, they just kind of follow what's in front of them. You know, they're looking for food and they're looking for water and a place to lay down. That's all that they care about. And so, you know, they're just like, hey, there's some green grass over there, so I'm going to go eat it. You know, and there's water over there. And the shepherd might be over there saying, no, come back this way because there's better stuff over here. But the sheep's still like, I'm just going to. And that's the way we live our lives a lot of times too, is that we know we need to listen to our shepherd, but we're just like, well, I want to do this, and so this is what I'm going to do. You know, knowing that it's going the wrong direction. Even while we're still sinning against God, he sacrificed for us. See, we still do stupid stuff even after we get saved, right? See, the heart of the God, our heart of our God is always sacrificed. He's always drawing us back. Come back. He sends out the search party. Come on back. Has anybody ever dropped out of church for a little while and someone gave you the phone call? Like, hey, we've been missing you. Everything going okay? That's God sending out the search party. He's drawing you back. He's drawing you back. The heart of the shepherd is sacrifice. Even when we don't want it, even when we don't care, God is still about sacrifice. So the heart of the shepherd is life-giving. The heart of the shepherd is sacrifice. The heart of the shepherd is relationship. Is relationship. John 10, 14 and 15. He said, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and they know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, so I sacrifice my life for the sheep. See, the shepherd wants to have the same relationship with you that Jesus has with God. That's what he wants. See, it says here, he says, I know my own sheep and they know me. That's the sign of relationship. This is not just like, hey, I'm friends with you on Facebook and I see your updates. But this is a different, I know my sheep. I know who they are. I know what they struggle with. They know me. There's a relationship. There's a bond. This word here, know, is the same word that when we look at the Virgin Mary, you know, the angel comes to the Virgin Mary and you know, tells the plan and she's like, okay, you want me to get pregnant? He says, how can this be, seeing I know not a man? It's the same word know there as this is right here where he says, I know my sheep and they know me. See, in other words, Mary said, how can I be pregnant since I'm still a virgin? So there's something that, I'm not trying to make this weird, okay? But there's something that's got to happen to get pregnant, right? There's a knowing that has to happen. And see, this is the kind of relationship God wants with us. That intimate, close relationship that has to happen. A relationship that's fully exposed. Where everything's on the table. There's no secrets. There's hiding nothing. That's the kind of relationship God wants with you. He's not just looking for some, I'm following you. Click on, where do you follow stuff? Is that Twitter? You follow people? So smart. We're friends. You know, that's not what God's looking for. He's looking for that close, intimate relationship. And I love this story in Luke chapter 19. And we talked about this last week, the story of Zacchaeus. But this just shows us the heart of God and the relationship that he wants with us. You know, we see Jesus, he's coming into Jerusalem. And Zacchaeus, he's like a big sinner. He's a tax collector. He's robbing people. And Zacchaeus, he hears Jesus is coming. He gets excited about it. He's like, I want to see Jesus. It's Jesus coming. And so Luke 19:3, we pick it up. He says, he tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowds. I feel his pain sometimes. Oh, and so he ran ahead and he climbed a sycamore tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and he called him by name. Zacchaeus, quickly come down. I must be a guest in your home today. See, the shepherd knows the sheep. He called him by name. He said, Zacchaeus. They've never met before. Zacchaeus, come down. I must be a guest at your house today. A known sinner. So Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house with great excitement and joy. Shouldn't that be what it looks like right before people get saved? Just excitement and joy. Jesus is here. Yes, finally. But the people were displeased. He has gone to be a guest at a notorious sinner. They grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I'll give half of my wealth to the poor, Lord. And if I've cheated people in their taxes, I'll give back to them four times as much. Jesus responded, salvation has come to this home today. For this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost. See, the heart of our shepherd is relationship. It's relationship. I love that. It says, I must be a guest at your house today. See, notice Jesus didn't tell Zacchaeus to repent before he came to his house. How many times do we tell people, you need to repent and come to church? No, you need to come to church and meet Jesus. And you'll be excited to repent. You'll be ecstatic. You'll be, yes, this is too good to be true. The heart of our shepherd is relationship. It's relationship. See, he said, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost. He came to seek and to save those who are lost. He's not sitting back saying, well, if someone comes to me, if those sinners come to me and say they're sorry. No, Jesus is out looking. He's out searching for the lost. Where are they at? Where'd they go? I've got to find them. I've got to find them. That's the heart of our God, is he's looking. He's looking for the sinners. He's wanting to be a guest in their home. See, we need to have this heart as well. You know, it's great that we can come to church and we have good Christian friendship, good Christian fellowship, that we can hold each other accountable and we can call each other up. But there needs to be some Zacchaeuses in your life. Amen. That you're looking for. You're watching out. Hey, I need to be a guest in your house. Can I come over? Man, let's have a party. Let's have a barbecue. Amen. But see, when Jesus came to his house, there's something that happened that changed on the inside. He went from a thief to saying, I'm going to give half of my wealth to the poor. If I've cheated anybody, I'm going to give it back to him four times as much. See, he found something better in life. He found something bigger in life that was so much better than what he had ever had. He found a relationship with Jesus. See, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus today, God is looking for you. He's searching for you. He's seeking you out. So you might be here today thinking, why did I come here today? I don't go to church. Man, God's pulling you in. He's seeking you. He's drawing you to Himself. See, today is your day. Today is the day of salvation. If God is tugging at your heart, if He's pulling at you, today, He's calling you. He's searching for you. Begin a relationship with Jesus today. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, we're going to have a prayer team up here in just a second. And we're going to give you an opportunity to come and talk to somebody and pray with them. And you can begin a relationship with Jesus today. See, we're not going to be up here condemning you. We're not going to ask you what your sins are. We don't care. We don't care. Because God wants your heart. God wants your heart. He wants that relationship with you. Maybe you're here today and you've had a relationship with Jesus, but you're like that sheep that went astray. You started following something that you wanted and you just wandered off. We've all done it. I've been there many times where I just wander off. God's calling you back. He's sending out the search party today. Come back to God. Prayer team, go ahead and come up here. See, today is your day. God is calling you. God is drawing you to Himself. See, you're not here by accident. Because God wanted to speak to you today. He wanted to begin a relationship with you today. He wanted to tell you something. Today is the day. Don't let the day pass. Because we're not promised tomorrow. Don't let the day pass. We're going to sing a worship song here in just a second. We invite the presence of God here. It's already here. And if you need prayer today, if you need to begin a relationship with Jesus, these people can pray with you. They can talk with you. They can help you. If you need to come back to God, these people are here for you. If you need prayer for any other reason, please come. Can we all stand today? Father, thank you today, God, that God, you are the good shepherd. God, that your heart is a heart of giving, giving of life. God, it's a heart of sacrifice. It's a heart of relationship. God, we might have heard people say other things that, God, you're out to get us, that you hate us, that you're mad at us. But God, that's not you. That's a lie of the devil. Father, I thank you that you're drawing your people to you today. Whether it's for the very first time, God, whether, God, we've been Christians forever, God, we just want to be in your presence and we want to experience you today. God, we thank you, we love you, in Jesus' name. If you need prayer, come ahead.